Good to be here today. I've passed this church many a time. Always go and visit that Ballantyne family, the Church of Ireland, you know. But that's all right, because in heaven, when we get to heaven, there's probably some Methodists in here today too, when we get to heaven, there's no City Mission Corner. Some of the people belong to the City Mission. They just come to me. They don't come to me, they come to God personally, but they come to our hall on a Sunday night there. You've about 20 people visiting there. I'm there for 12 years, Ballyduff Newton Abbey. There's an organization or two there. It's not the Boys Brigade, but we do have the GB, and they meet on Tuesday night. I'm their chaplain, so it's really good. We're getting them sworn in. Or you call that? So do you have a GB here? Yeah? GB's good. Seek, serve, and follow. Not good. That's a great wee motto. I never had. My sister went to the Brownies. But the GB six, serve, and follow. So a wee GB company there, and we'll see them on Tuesday night. We'll get them sworn in. The great thing when you have a GB company, and you've maybe 35 girls, which is very good. All the parents come. You have 100 people come into the room, and you have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. Often I meet them at funerals, these people, because they attend the funerals, and maybe City Mission has inroads into the community because they don't know a minister. So I maybe do that little service for the granny or the grandpa or the father during COVID, which was a hard time. There was a family we did a funeral for, and Grace said to me, "Don't get yourself into trouble today." Now, that's what she says to me every day. But so I went into the home, and there's a dozen people in the room, and there's a big fan behind me, and I sat in that room for 2 hours. There's a big fan behind me blowing that way. So that was fair enough. I was in that house a couple of times sorting out the funeral arrangements. We had them social distance and remember all that stuff. The chairs spread out. So the mission hall incorporated that. We did the funeral service. Within 2 days, got a phone call. AJ, or Al Martin. AJ, 7 of us have gone down with COVID. I says, "Grace, 7 of them have went down with COVID." She says, "See, I told you." I said, "I was doing a funeral service and been paid to do that. I didn't get COVID that I know of." But the sad thing was this. I did that funeral service of a gentleman and we brought the gospel. And I didn't know if he knew Jesus or not. I didn't know if Glenn knew Jesus or not. Because I didn't get to him to chat to him in his last days of his life when he passed away with cancer. God knows. But we present to Jesus. One of those ladies that was in that service that the 7 went down with COVID, she went back to her hubby that underlying health conditions and he died. How does she feel, a Christian lady? See, we usher into eternity very quickly and just like that. It just happens just like that. That's when I get up in the morning and I go, "I'm here again. What am I to do today?" Well, I better turn up for John Martin, a past city missionary himself. If I don't turn up, John will soon ring me and tell you. He's like that, our John, if you know John. He'll soon tell you. And that's the thing with John Martin and us city missionaries. We tell people, but it's the way you present it. Because we've got to love them into the kingdom. We can't force them into the kingdom. We have to learn to do evangelism well. And I tell you this, if any of you want to come up with me to Ballyduff, and learn. You learn on the ground. You can't read it in a book because everyone's different. I think it's enough to be talking to one person at a time. Isn't it? If I stopped with everyone I see in the road, I wouldn't have been here and the clerk of session would have been panicking. Isn't that right? So I always say to the elders, have a sermon in your back pocket because you need to step up to the mark. We all need to step up to the mark because we're getting closer to eternity just like that. So we need to stretch ourselves, and the way we stretch ourselves is to become weak and to have trust in Jesus. I love this book of Daniel. It's easy followed because see, I have a sermon on Daniel in the lion's den, but I couldn't get a lion for the children's dress, so I didn't bring it today. But children like to see the thing real. I like reality. Just the way things are. I like reality. You could even think yourself when you tell a story. You could tell a tall story. And you tell it that much that you believe it yourself that it really happened. But remember, God's watching you. So you have to say it the way it is. That's what Jesus did. And he paid the ultimate price
for the way it was.
We read this book of Daniel. We see a person called Daniel standing for God. We see his three friends standing for God. There's that song, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone." That's not really correct. Because Daniel was not standing alone. His friends weren't standing alone. And we're not standing alone. Yes, we stand in a godless society. But the thing is this, we stand with Jesus. He's by our side in every situation. This book is all about God, the one whom is faithful and who draws near to his people. That's what this book is about, the book of Daniel. It's about God. Everything is about God. It's not about me. It's not how we look. But he loves his church. And we're privileged as Christians, if we're saved, to be part of his church. It's his church. And he's building his church. This book is all about God, and he is faithful, and he draws near to his people. God is faithful, and God can be trusted. So here we have Daniel and his three friends. They're in exile in a strange land. I don't know. Guess where I ended up yesterday? Milltown Cemetery. My wife says, "What were you doing there?" Do you remember Milltown Cemetery back in the day? It's in West Belfast. I've never been there before. I says, "I'll go there. All the coach tours are going there. And there's people come on. The Americans are there, whatever. I reckon no one's been there here." Well, I thought I'd been there here. That's not good English. I need to think what I'm saying. You have to think what you're saying. But I met a man called Podrick. Podrick was telling these people from Spain. I think they were from Spain, though my languages aren't good. But Podrick was telling them a story. And they're in the Republican plot. You wonder why I was there. And I says, "I need to go." I was at the men's convention. I'll be telling you, if you watch me on Facebook, you'll see where I was yesterday, but I didn't have a picture of that. But I went up there because there's people there. In West Belfast, there's people there. They need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus everywhere. In the Malone Road, Ballyduff, wherever, Macrofelt. Podrick said something to the crowd. I says, "That's not really right, what you just said." And I interrupted him what he'd said. But I says, "What's your name?" to him. He says, "I'm Podrick." "So there's someone to pray for. You pray for Podrick." And where I went. See, we're called to present the gospel wherever we're at. Daniel and his three friends were brought by God to Babylon. They were brought to this strange country where they would be uncomfortable. Are we uncomfortable in our faith? I have a peace with God, but I'm uncomfortable. I'm walking about everywhere. I don't know what. Maybe it's the coffee's too strong. I don't know. We're not meant to be comfortable here in this country. We're not meant to be comfortable in this world. We're only passing through. The man yesterday that was speaking, who was invited over from London, he said this. He said that... Will you have a clean, words to this effect, will you have a clean shirt when you get to heaven? Or will it be stained? You know, it means, have you rolled up your sleeve? It doesn't mean you've cowed clap on it or anything. But have you been presenting the gospel to people? And it's quite dangerous to do that. Are we taking risks? God raises up people to take risks for his sake. If we were a Christian in North Korea, wouldn't be here now, wouldn't be here with so much freedom in our little country to present the gospel. God raised up these four friends. He brought them to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. They were selected to learn the language and the culture, and they were integrated into society. I hope our Harry does do well in his languages, because if he buys a house in Paris or somewhere, I can go and stay on my holiday. All right? But we don't know where God will take our Harry and our Jack and our Emma. And we don't know where God's going to take you, young person. You could be standing here in 30 years up here. Because God needs young people to go into the mission field and go out into the mission field. That's a challenge for you if you're a young person. Go and help out in Exodus. Go and help out in PCI teams. Go and do something. But allow God to do it. Our focus is on Daniel chapter 3, and it's a rescue story. The question in this story for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego Will we be rescued or not? Will we be rescued or not? See, we know the story. We know they were rescued. But they didn't know that. I get sunburn very easy. Factor 50 baby sun cream. And I go to Costa del Port Stewart for my holidays. But it burns my face when I do get the sun. I feel a wee bit red now. Maybe I'm just hot. But they were going to be thrown into this burning furnace. I'm stoked up 7 times hotter. Good grief. I'm going to die here. Do we live like that? Knowing that this is our last breath we're going to take. God knows. So we have to enjoy the journey. What does the shorter catechism say? To love God and enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Are you doing that today? Because they were enjoying God and glorifying Him when they were in this situation because they had faith in Almighty God that said and spoke the world into being, and they knew that. And He said it was good because we have a good, good Father. The key thing for us to understand today, as we look at the story, is the ability of the Lord's servants to trust God even while they are experiencing fiery trials. To trust God in the midst of difficulty, opposition, persecution, and suffering. Something we need to see and hear and believe, isn't it? I don't know about you, but we're always going through troubles. We're always having handlings. Handlings is a County Tyrone term. I'm married to a lady for 17 years now. I don't know how she's put up with me, but 17 years. And they're always having a handling. I landed her new car during the last bit of ice up onto a sandbank. Not that I live near the sea, it's just happened to have a heap of sand in the yard. And I just happened to dump it. No, you just dump it and see you gather it up later and you gather it up, it's still there. So I sailed in and I landed on top of her, a brand new little car. It's out there. £100 later, it's fixed, but I didn't tell her. I didn't tell her until she asked, why are you, I'm using your 10-year 208, us poor missionaries. She's a teacher. Oh, she'd have to get pay rise. She mentioned that this week. But she landed the car there up on top. No, I did. That's right. Got the story right. I done more damage bringing it back down. And I says, bit low to the ground. Took it into the local dealer there, roadside. I think there's a roadside, if it still is, in up the road there, is there? Ah, say, I know my area. But there's one Lisburn there. I'm not promoting roadside. There's other car dealers out there, as Nolan would say. But when I landed the car in, I'm able to talk to Ken. He says, Alan, you're back again. You're a farmer. Aye. Where have you been in the car this time? But you get to know people, don't you? When you chat to them, they get to know you. And you have opportunity to share Jesus. That was my handling maybe a couple of weeks ago. Not too much. And maybe today you're going through a handling. That's more than a handling. You've been diagnosed with something. And you haven't told anyone. Get people to pray for you. Tell God and get people to pray for you. And do you know God will work things out? My wee minister, William Henry, he went skiing. William's about this height. Wee man. It fit in well with Belfast. We're all wee men, wee women. And he went skiing. Within 2 days, he broke his shoulder. And he had me in standby last week too. He says, listen, Alan, if I don't come back, I says, where are you going? If I don't come back, will you do the service? So he had me hanging. I'm dedicated to the thing. But I missed the pulpit supply. I like going out and about. And he'd come home as long as the EasyJet flight went. That's why he had me, because he's very dedicated. So we're standing there, up there in the pulpit last Sunday at Mays. I think he was looking attention. And he preached the word message. And he got a lot of attention. Because within 2 days, the chief consultant, one of the consultants in Craigavon, had him in getting all the scans that he needed to check he's okay. It's who you know, isn't it? But this is a lovely Christian fellow, says David, called David, and he says, listen, you come up at a certain time, we'll get you scanned to check about. He's still able to preach. He didn't fall on his head, so he's still okay. I have to pray for them. But he had the privilege, and we have had the privilege of Ashley was our assistant minister. And Ashley's a good fellow. And he's up there and has been up there, Limavady, Dungiven, that's right. The PCI church in Dungiven, it's the best car park in the place. It's the old police station. Safe place to park your car. God has his people everywhere and the connections are there. Our country's a small country and God's call is a wonderful thing. These people were called to this place where it was difficult, where they had to trust in God. So if you're going through the rocky road of life at the minute, just trust in God. In the midst of trials, the testing of our faith, believing in the God whom we serve, the God of Israel and the church, the God who has come near in Jesus, and he is able to save us out of the trials. There are many situations in life where faith is tested, but we do believe as Christians that Jesus comes very near. And he walks through with us. We're not by ourselves. He takes us by the hand. And he walks with us. Back to our epic story. Now, this boy Nebuchadnezzar, he thought something of himself. So he says, listen, go and build this statue. So he built this statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. A big statue. The only thing that I think it was bigger than that is the 120-foot Craigie Hill bonfire last summer. Did you see it? The 120-foot Craigie Hill bonfire last summer. I wonder how they got that up. I wonder who paid for that. Well, probably I did to get it cleaned up. 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. And he wanted the people to worship that statue. He thought something of himself, didn't he? He was proud in himself. He thought, I've got it made. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. Oh, there's no one in charge in this world other than God. Joe Biden, when he gingerly coming down the stairs, that he doesn't fall. I always think he's going to fall down those steps. He's only there because God has him there. And Mr. Putin, you pray that he gets saved, that man. Because God will deal with that man. There's leaders in the world, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, even the deceased Saddam Hussein. There's one thing about them they have in common. One thing about them they all have in common is this. They will meet the true and the living God when they're judged by him. Maybe not in this lifetime, but in eternity to come. King Nebuchadnezzar was a dictator. He thought he was a god. He demanded worship. But one thing he could not do, he was not able to convert people's hearts. Only God can do that. Convert people's hearts. Do you remember back to your own conversion? You're brought under the sound of the gospel. You realized you were a sinner. The Holy Spirit came to bear in your life. You were convicted of the Holy Spirit. You repented of that sin. You accepted Jesus as your Savior. Your hard heart was broken and you became a Christian. Only the living God did that. Yes, God used the likes of, we'll fire out a word here, Trevor Glanders, who preached there. He was a baker when he was preaching there in that lighthouse. Became a faith mission congregational minister. You're maybe related to him. Everyone's related about here. I was here earlier, an hour before. I looked around the gravestones. Just to see who's there. The names. I know I'm related to Adam and Eve. But to you, I don't know because you haven't spoken to me. But what I do know is I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow down to this golden statue. They were brought before this king. And he was steaming. He was furious with rage because they weren't going to bow down. So what would happen to them? They'd end up toast, wouldn't they? They'd end up thrown into the fiery furnace. They testified to the living God. The God who made them and sustained them. The creator, the true and the living God. The God of heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. We read in chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from our hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. God could intervene if he chose to do so. Even though they could die, they chose their God, the true King of the world, than this earthly king who thought he was a god. And the king was ripping. He ordered the furnace to be stoked up 7 times hotter. It was so hot that even the guards who threw the 3 friends into the furnace, they died. Look what happens. They fell into the blazing furnace. No, it's not all over. We're dealing with an awesome God here. The God who made this world. The God that spoke it into being. The God who made you. The God who is all-powerful and mighty to save. I love that song by Reuben Morgan of Hillsongs, Mighty to Save. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Are we trusting in the living God? He conquered the grave. He walked out that day. He walked out of the garden tomb. Nebuchadnezzar looked in. I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. The 4th looks like the son of the gods. Was he seeing things? Who was this 4th person? It could have been an angel or a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. No matter what, there was a heavenly visitor with them. God delivered his servants. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't believe it. The king was humbled. He promoted those men. And then they would go and share Jesus, and King Neb would share Jesus also. Jesus stepped into the fire with the 3 men. And Jesus is able to step into your situation, whatever it may be. I finish with this last portion of Scripture. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Is he your God? Is he your Savior? Do you love him? Let me encourage you to trust him today. Will you do that? Turn to Jesus, the Savior of this world. We're going to close today with our final